Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
As we head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline, for our friends at GCL Diesel, providing genuine diesel parts and turbochargers at great prices since 1972, GCLDiesel.com. He gets chaperoned home after every road trip, well, at least most of the time. We welcome back to the show Sportsnet color analyst Louis DeBrusque. Not just a radio color analyst, but a driver as well. Hello, Louis. How you doing?
Yeah, and I appreciate it, Bob. Thanks, bud. It was a later one getting in last night, but always appreciative when you drop me off on the way home. So thank you.
And I got a couple suits, so I'm a happy guy.
Yeah, there you go. A good trade.
Good deeds. Fun couple games back-to-back, lots of Oilers fans, and a team that's, let's face it, they're the most exciting team in the league to watch, Louis. They can, I know your son's playing on the wagon in Boston, and they're going to win like 743 games this year or something like that, but I would say for pure entertainment value, the Oilers are as entertaining of a team as there is in the National Hockey League.
Yeah, that we've seen in a long time. There's no question. They're the talk of the entire National Hockey League, the way they can move that puck around, the way they can put the puck in the net, the speed they can play with, the power play, which has been, well, historic this year. Yeah, there's no question. You talk to anybody from any other team and around the league when we travel, they look at the Edmonton Oilers and just go, wow, like this is a powerhouse when it comes to a team that can make you pay if you make mistakes and if you want to play that kind of hockey with them. And, you know, for Edmonton, they're a team that's continually working on their game, which you love to hear. They're the highest scoring team in the National Hockey League, but they're, every time they talk after post games, even last night after the game, there's still things to work on. We're still trying to iron out little details of our game and structure. And I mean, it just sounds like a group that is motivated, that went to the conference final last year, and I think is very motivated to try and duplicate that and do better this year. And that's just a sign of a team that is growing together, and the core has been together for quite a while.
Are you at all alarmed about the fact that they seemingly can't find a way to give up fewer than four goals in a game right now?
I'm a little concerned about it, but, I mean, you know, the last time I looked, they're plus 44, plus the goal differential.
Yes.
So for me, yes, you're always concerned, and I know that's one of the things that's always brought up. I think Leon Draisaitl brought it up last night in this post-game interview. I know Jay Woodcroft has talked about it as a team. They've continually talked about it all year long, and yeah, you don't want to give up four every night. They have the firepower to score three, four, five goals a game, but at the same time, you'd like to win it 3-1, you know, 4-1, 2-1, and I think as the games get tighter here down the stretch, you'll start to see them buckle that down even more. And I just think that the competition and the level of competition, and for me, when the stakes are high, I get the feeling this team rises to the occasion. I really do. I think the best teams in the league bring the best out in Edmonton. I think they get fired up to play the best teams, and it shows in how they play those games. It doesn't always go their way. They don't always win all those games, but they're in the game. Very rarely are they getting blown out in a game against a big competitor. And I just think that's, again, going back to the core of this team and the depth now that they have in both forward and defense positions, they look across and go, okay, this is a measuring stick for us. And, you know, when you have a team that can elevate to that level, you give yourself a chance to win, and especially in the playoffs where it's do or die, and it becomes even that much more important to dial in your details and structure your game. I'm not that worried about it because I do believe that'll bring the best of them in again, and I guess we'll see.
Louis,
if a guy was a betting man at the start of the season, I wonder what kind of odds he would have gotten on Ryan Nugent-Hopkins having a 100-point season. Like, you know what? McDavid and Draisaitl, you're like, yeah, I can see those guys putting up 100 points. In Connor's case, it might be 150. But Nugent's got a great chance. He's up to 96 points here, and the Oilers have got 7 games left. I would say logic would dictate he's going to reach it. And, man, he's just having a wonderful campaign, isn't he?
Well, he's got some line mates and teammates that are going to be looking for him, too. They're going to want him to get it. I think they're really excited for Nuge, and rightfully so. He's had an amazing year, and the thing I like about it is that he hasn't changed, in my opinion. He's always been a great player. He's always been a very dependable player. He's always had a great defensive conscience, and I think maybe early in his career that overrode some of the offense that he brought to the table as a first overall pick. I really believe that. When you get put into an organization that you know, you jump on board and you're the best centerman at that time. And he was going up against all the best centermen in this Western Conference and throughout the National Hockey League. I remember Ralph Kruger talking about, you know, trying to get matchups away from a young Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, and it wasn't easy. He said they really key on him because they know he's a good player. So what I think it did to Ryan, though, was I think it forced him to really buckle down and be that player. And now with more depth, more support, and just a player that's been in the league for 12 years and understands what he needs to do to be successful. It's just, for me, it's been systematic for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I'm not looking at it, and I guess what I'm trying to say, Bob, is that I don't look at this as an anomaly. I've seen his game trending towards this. Did I think he was going to have 100 points? No. But if you would have said he's going to have 80 this year, I said, okay, no problem. Easy. Like, I think it's very, very much in his capability of having 80 points every year with the way he plays the game, with the number one power play unit in the National Hockey League. And it's going to stay that way because they're all relatively kind of in the group together. This is a little bit more of a breakthrough than I thought, but if you look over the last few years, with the exception of last year, he was trending up with his point production. Great to see, though. Couldn't happen to a better guy, and I think that the entire team is on board. Number one, trying to get him 100, and I think they're going to be looking for Leon Draisaitl to get his third 50-goal season as well, because he's on a roll. But it's exciting. It's exciting to follow it, and I think it also puts in perspective what Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl have done. You know, just banging out 100-point seasons like it's no big deal. Well, it is a big deal. It's a very big deal. And I know offense is up in the league, but they're a big reason why offense is up in the league. Players that have come into the league have been watching these guys snap the puck around and do what they do, and the next generation will be even that much more offensive, in my opinion, with the way they now train and develop and watch the players before them and go out there and try and emulate them on the ice. But I'm really happy for Ryan Nugent-Hopkins. I think that he's been just the longest tenured Oiler. He loves playing in Edmonton. He's always been great in the community. I don't think there's a bad word you could say about the guy. So for him to have a season like this, I think everybody involved wants to see him get to 100.
We're joined by Louis DeBrusque from NHL Hockey and Rogers and Sportsnet, courtesy of our friends at GCL Diesel, providing genuine diesel parts and turbochargers at great prices since 1972. GCLDiesel.com. That was an important goal yesterday for Evander Kane, too, wasn't it? I mean,
I liked his
energy level that he had going on in that game last night.
He fought it a few games before, you know, and you could see, and I think that's, you expect that. We've talked about this. He missed 41 games, so he's been out for a long time in 3 different spurts, and it just takes some time to get your timing back, to just kind of get that feel. And for Evander, though, like anybody else, typically when he's moving his feet and he's driving, he's hungry to get shots. 11 shots on it, and by the way, the 5th time he's had 11 shots in a game, tied his career high of 11 shots. I mean, that's just, you're giving yourself a darn good chance to score a goal, and you're firing 11 pucks on net, and I think he missed 3 or 4 others. So he had 15 opportunities on net, I believe. I'll have to look at the last game sheet there. But I'll tell you, that's kind of the impact that he can have in a game. What I saw in Evander Kane last night was a guy that I think, okay, he'd gone 4 games without a point. He had lost his coverage in the overtime loss, and he wasn't happy with where his game was. And that's what you like to see from a veteran player that says, okay, I just need to buckle down here. And right from the get-go, you could just tell he was dangerous. He was all over. He was sniffing around the net. He was getting a shot away quickly. He drew a penalty drive into the net, which resulted in the power play goal. Good game for him. That's why we picked him as one of the stars. He was noticeable right from the get-go, and that's the kind of game he can play, and he's trending up at the right time of the year going down the stretch into the playoffs, and we all know what he did last year with the playoffs. there?
Do we got you? There we go, Louis.
What happened then?
Louis, I didn't turn my mic on. That one was on me.
Oh, there you go. It's usually me, so I just kind of took it for granted that it was me.
Yeah. No.
you have that advantage.
Yes. So the LA Kings are in town. We know the last time these two teams played, it was nasty. Oilers were shorthanded a bunch of times. By the way, Louis, you knew the Oilers after going 3-for-3 on the power play last night and up 6-3 through two periods. They weren't going to get any ticky-tack power plays after that. You knew that, right?
No. Well, I honestly think that's been the case throughout the year. I think when the referees look at a game and it's tight, I think for Edmonton, they almost have to get... The penalty has to be substantial for them to call it, especially in a close game with Edmonton, because I do believe they're a victim of having the best power play in the National Hockey League, and the officials know it. You can say, oh, they don't call the game that way. That's not true. Baloney. Baloney. It is. Because they know that if they call a ticky-tack call late in the game in the 2-2 game and Edmonton goes on the power play, the chances of putting that puck in the net are pretty good. So they let a lot go. And I agree with you. I thought last night, and not that I don't think a lot was missed last night, to be honest, there was a couple things here and there, and it was, you know, whatever. But, you know, I didn't think that was a storyline in the game at all. I think it was a pretty hard-fought game, and I think Edmonton just continued to roll and didn't need any more power plays. But, yes, I agree with you.
All right, so Edmonton gets L.A. Evander Kane did not play in either of the two games. He got hurt right before the Oilers came back after that four-game road trip that culminated down in Florida, which the Oilers got a split because they won the games in Tampa and Florida, lost in Washington, Carolina. They got touched up on the PK in Washington, came home, lost a tight game. McDavid got called for a couple penalties. I didn't like it. Long story short, L.A. was a little better, and Edmonton was banged up by that point. They were down both Kane and Yamamoto. Then when we went back in there, Kane was still out. He was traveling with the team. Desharnais had just been recalled. He was not in the lineup. LA's made some additions. Korpisalo has been brought in to settle down in goal. Obviously, they got Gavrikov on defense. Byfield's become a full-time first-line player for them as he, you know, graduates the NHL growing. All that being said, how different is Edmonton's team with Kane specifically and Desharnais? Because if you recall, Louis, things got a little bit nasty that Monday night in Los Angeles when we were there before.
Yeah. It did, and I liked it. And, you know, when you look at that, that game, and Jack and I actually brought that up on the air last night. Jack's brought it up a couple times, and rightfully so, because that was the game I feel that they weren't – it was almost kind of the, you know, have a meeting type of a game where it's like, okay, listen, we need to be better here. This is a team we beat in the playoffs last year. This is a team we most likely and very well could see again here in the playoffs if we get in there. Now, this is still, you know, midway point of the season, but you're starting to think about these things moving forward. And they went on a tear after that. I think they won 6 in a row after that, 5 in a row after that. I can't remember. But if you look at their record since that point in time, it's been incredible. It's been one of the best records in the National Hockey League. So I do believe it was a game that left a mark. I like the way they didn't go away quietly. And I expect it to be a chippy, hard game tomorrow night as well, as it should be. Anytime you play a team in the playoffs, especially the very next year, there's one team there that's not too happy about what happened the year before, and that's the Los Angeles Kings. And they played the first two games like they haven't been happy with what happened last year. I think the first two losses for Edmonton against L.A. will set the tone for tomorrow night, because they're now starting not to get too happy with what's happened in those first two games. But it's great. I think it makes for great hockey. The Kings have bolstered. They've gotten healthy. They're one of the best teams in the league, and Edmonton understands that, and I believe they'll be ready for that game tomorrow night. It's an opportunity to leapfrog them and get into second position in the division, have home ice advantage. I mean, all these things start to add up, and we knew this was going to be a traffic jam down the stretch into the playoffs. And here we are, as there's three teams right now fighting not only for first in the division, but potentially first in the conference and home ice advantage. So yeah, these games are very meaningful and great. That's what you want. This is what we talk about. This is what we kind of look forward to at the end of the season, and I believe the players do too. This is a measuring stick once again, and I agree that with you that Edmonton's a different team than the first couple of times they played them. Evander Kane brings speed. He brings that physicality. He's hard in the forecheck, and I believe that's where Edmonton needs to get to the Los Angeles Kings. Very deep forward group. But the defense core of the Los Angeles Kings, they need to establish that forecheck early, often, and get on it. Because when they do, we saw what they did to the Las Vegas Golden Knights last night with an aggressive forecheck and play in the offensive zone.
Louis, the Oilers lost to the LA Kings on January 9th. The score was 6-3. That dropped Edmonton's record to 21-18-3. I just went back to the text from that day from some of the people that text the show.
Yep.
The next day on January 10th, they played the Ducks on January 11th, and they were lighting me up. And, you know, Stauffer, there's no way the Oilers are going to make the playoffs. They've lost four of their last six games. They were one.
Yeah, you know what it reminds me of, Bob? And I hate to even bring it up, but it reminds me of the 2-11 and 3 stretch they went on.
Yep.
Another sweater was thrown on the ice.
Yeah.
That was right around this time.
21-18-3. The team was 21-18-3 after that loss to LA. Since then, the Oilers have gone 22-5-6.
Yeah, and I believe last year after that incident, they kind of went on a tear then too.
Yeah, they've been a second half team, and they are.
Coaching change, obviously, and all that, and I get that. But what I'm saying is, this team has found a way, and it looks like the fourth consecutive year, to get themselves in the playoffs and play their best hockey down the stretch when it really matters and set the tone for the playoffs. Okay,
so now we're going to go into your wheelhouse. We're going into your wheelhouse. We all know what happened with Mikey Anderson last year in Draisaitl.
Yeah.
We know what happened that night. Again, there was no Kane. Desharnais was not in the mix. Lemieux fought Klim Kostin at the end of the game. Deneau kind of jumped Yessopoli-Arvey after a big hit and got the, Jesse's not a fighter. We know that there were a couple Oilers players that challenged Deneau afterwards, and he declined the invitation, which is, hey, he doesn't have to fight just because he. And that was also a game Hyman fought Sean Durzi.
Yeah, right off the face-off.
So the top two power plays in the league are Edmonton and LA. At least they were going into last night's game. So you got to be careful if you take penalties. Do you send a message, or do you send a message like if you're playing against Mikey Anderson, do you remind him, hey, we haven't forgotten what you done here? It's like, what gets into a player's head more, Louis? Is it easier to do if the guy's a top six guy or a top nine forward?
Well, first of all, we're talking about a completely different era. I think it is completely different. I really do. But at the same time, I do think they need to send a message. But the way they send the message is the right way. And like I said before, you get really aggressive on the forecheck. You finish every check. You make it a playoff game. You make it a playoff game right now. That's what you do. You go out there and every single check, you look across, you say, I'm going to be better than the guy across from me, and I'm going to make his night miserable tonight. That's the mentality to have. Now, in the process of doing that, if you can get a good lick on Anderson, then go do it. But I agree with you 100%. You can't run around recklessly and take penalties. This is too good of a team that has too good of a power play, and they're a veteran disciplined team too. They've got guys that have been around a few times the block on that team that you're not going to intimidate them necessarily in that regard, but you can certainly make them second guess decisions early in the game with an aggressive attack, and I think that's what Edmonton's going to try and do. You can't sit back. I think you really need to push the issue. And the other thing for me is, if you get the opportunity and somebody wants to engage, then yeah, that's when you take the opportunity to engage. If you go out of your way looking for those types of things, you can almost play into the hands of the opposition sometimes, because you're way more eager and willing to do it than they are. And they know that. Like, Anderson knows that he's probably a target to a certain degree. And by no means do I think Anderson was trying to bend back Leon Draisaitl's ankle in that situation. He was just trying to pull him out of the pile. He didn't know that he was going to, hurt him in that regard. But he's a top player. He went after him, and that needs to be taken note of. And when you get your chances, and especially if you're a bottom six guy and you get a chance to take a heavy run at Anderson, you take that heavy run. But you don't want to put them on the parkway. I agree. So you have to do it within the confines of the rule or right on that line, which is not always easy. Make it an intense, aggressive game. It'll just naturally come out. And guess what? We're going to have some amazing hockey because they can play that way too. And they did in the playoffs last year. And that's why it went seven games. And these two teams are rivals once again this year, and that's why you love the playoffs, because that's what it develops. It develops these types of atmospheres and these types of games in the regular season for years to come.
Awesome stuff, Louis. Thanks for your time.
All right, bud.
For GCL Diesel from Sportsnet, NHL Hockey and Rogers, that's Louis DeBrusque. It's 12:54 in Edmonton. I'll get to a couple texts when we return on Oilers Now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
For you golfers out there at 12:57 in Edmonton, we've got a heck of a bucket list experience coming up next fall with New West Travel. You can join them in October at world-famous Pinehurst in North Carolina, home of the 2024 U.S. Open. As part of a five-day golf getaway, your Pinehurst golf package includes airfare by private charter with an open bar, meals, four nights, spectacular accommodation, five rounds of golf, including the stunning U.S. Open at Pinehurst. Space is limited. To reserve your team time, call New West Travel or visit newwesttravel.com. Brendan, just before we go to break, Frank Saravalli, who joins us every Tuesday in Oilers Now, has put out a very, and I mean it is preliminary, list of the top 50 UFAs. He has Connor Brown like ranked 50th, saying that Brown will have to, he's one of those guys that can qualify because he's played over 400 games in the NHL. He can qualify for a bonus laden contract next year. Now, you know, I'm a big fan of Connor Brown, who played with Connor McDavid in Erie, had a great season a couple years ago with Ottawa, tore his ACL. Was it his Achilles or his ACL at the start of this year in Washington? That would be a guy that I'd have interest in for the Edmonton Oilers in the offseason. Not a super sexy free agent class, by the way. Hey, let's do this. We're going to open up the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline. The Oilers can score. Are you worried about the defense? Or conversely, are you just loving what you're watching and having fun with it? Because they are highly entertaining. 780-496-0063, the River Cree Resort Casino Hotline. And you can text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. Off to a global news weather traffic update with Evan Cook.
I'm not just a pawn in this game.
Three nights a week on Global.
They're putting targets on their back. Massive.
Drama.
I guess you could say I'm in a showman.
They're just so in love and so annoying. Enough.
Betrayal.
The guy just put up his best friend now.
And plot twists.
What is happening right now?
You'll never see coming.
If you're coming for me,
this is perfect.
I'm coming for you then.
It'll be a battle.
Like, it'll be war.
Big Brother Canada. All new Tuesdays, Wednesdays, and Sundays on Global. Stream on Stack TV.